Good morning. It's the 30th of November. Our New Testament reading today is Hebrews 3, 4 and 5. I'm going to read to you from Brother John Carter's book on Hebrews, and this section deals with the beginning of chapter 4. It's titled The True Rest of God. There is a rest of God which his people are invited to share. This is evident from the record that God did rest when creation was finished, and also that he said the faithless Israelites should not enter his rest, the offer of so doing having been made to them. And now the question arises, was the occupancy of the land by those Israelites who went into the land under the leadership of Joshua a participation in the rest of God? That it was called a rest, the scriptures declare. Joshua said, "Remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land." That comes from Joshua 1 verse 13. But that was not the rest God had in view. Israel's rest was a development consequent upon the formation of a nation for himself, to be the custodians of his oracles, and to be the preservers of the knowledge of his purpose amidst the nations of the world. It was, however, typical of the rest, and the faithlessness that excluded from the typical will also exclude from the true rest. Paul takes it as axiomatic that God's purpose cannot fail. Men may and do fail, but his purpose will be accomplished. They failed at the Exodus, but the offer of the rest was renewed in David's day. And this repeated offer shows that the rest will certainly be enjoyed by some. It also shows that the rest under Joshua was not the rest. This is the way the apostle presents his case in the opening verses of this chapter. The argument, it has been truly said, is close and cogent. Let us try to follow its detail. The closing verse of chapter 3 drew the lesson from the history of the Exodus that through unbelief some did not enter into the land of promise. Caleb and Joshua and the children of the faithless survived the wilderness wanderings and entered into the inheritance. Very skillfully, by a change of pronoun, is a parallel suggested as possible in the case of the readers and their leaders. Let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short. Some would enter, but there was a danger of failure, and this much more on the part of the readers than of the writer of the epistle. Like Caleb and Joshua, the apostles had faith. They saw that the observances of the law could not give them life, and they put their trust in Christ. Those who listened to Caleb and Joshua, when they gave their report, did not believe. There was cause for fear that the readers would lapse into unbelief in Christ. The promise had come to them, both they and the Exodus generation having had the glad tidings preached to them. The latter failed because they were not united by faith to them that heard. Caleb and Joshua heard. The rest were not united with them in faith. The apostles had heard. Would the Hebrews remain united with them in faith? Faith was the condition of entering into the rest. We which have believed do enter. How sure the reward of faith is, these last words indicate. We do enter. There is then both a warning and an exhortation for all of us in this generation. A warning against faithlessness, unbelief, and an exhortation to know that there is a rest for the people of God, and God's intended purpose cannot fail. Thank you for listening.